use your imagination right now. Let's imagine I have a body shop to fix cars, and you bring to me a rusted old 1955 Chevy car. Does anybody know what that looks like? Few of us do. Yeah. And you say, fix it up. Don't spare any money. We're going to make a classic out of this thing. It's going to be great. But then about a month or maybe 2 weeks into the job, I get a word that the guy is actually going to use it for a demolition derby. You know what demolition derby, you know, where the cars crash into each other and they destroy each other until the last one running wins. And do you think that the kind of work I do on that car will make a difference when I hear that he's going to use it for a demolition? Or she? Okay, of course it does. The intended outcome of anything is really important to us. And so when we look at ourselves, last Sunday we were looking at the resurrected Lord, and we just looking at ourselves as being followers of Christ. But some Christians have kind of a demolition derby kind of approach towards the last days. You know, hey, we're just going to crash and burn, and the world's going to fall apart, and we're going to be overcome with sin and evil, and it's going to be really bad. And so I think, and then we take on the attitude, well, I'm just going to wait for the rapture. You know, I'm just going to, or maybe I'll die or something, and it's going to be over with, and I'll go to heaven. Whereas I think when we take on the attitude, you know what? God is at work. He's restoring things. He's building things. He's helping us. He's helping you become a better person, a more effectual person. He's helping heal the hurts that are in your heart. He's helping heal marriages. He's helping heal people who are depressed, people who are run down. I think it changes everything. For several years, on the Sunday after Easter, I've looked at some different scriptures that what takes place after Easter, you know, whether it's Peter being restored in John chapter 20 or 21, whether it's Thomas and the doubter. Today I'd like to look at understanding our marching orders from our Master Jesus. I think it's imperative that we take a strong stand, walking, making up our minds that whatever Jesus asks us to do, we're going to do it. He's the risen Lord. He's the Master. He's our Savior. And what he asks us to do, we're going to do it. Okay? Our culture kind of stumbles around, you know, just trying to figure out what to do with different problems, whether it's racism, whether it's the opioid drug deal, you know, crisis going on in our country. You know, what do we do? What do we do? But I think that God has made it real clear what he wants us to do. We've talked about the greatest command. What is the greatest command? I think a good half of us could probably say it was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. But not as many of us know what is the Great Commission. Gallup poll amongst Christians said that 51% of all Christians had never heard of the Great Commission. Well, I want us to look at it today. 17% didn't even know what Matthew 28 was all about. Well, when I was talking to you about, you know, 1.2, 1.5 million people coming to Christ every day, it's because somebody knows what the Great Commission is and they're working at it. They're doing it. So let's look at Matthew 28. After Jesus rose from the dead, he ministered to his disciples. He taught them things. But then at the end of Matthew, here's what he said. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. It says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Does that look overwhelming? Well, it could be, but I think the Holy Spirit he's set up some guidelines on how we're to go about that. He's got the wisdom for us how to go about that. I had a phone call this past week from a person. They're not here today and very seldom come, but this person was asking about a problem they were having, and I said, well, I think this is what God wants you to do. I think this is what God is looking for you to do. And he said, I can't do that. It's like a mountain, and I don't even begin to climb that. But I think whatever God asks us to do, we can do it. We might not do it like someone else does it, or we might not, you know, jump, do it all at once. But today, as I look at this great commission, How do we even approach that? Is it necessary? The note on your outline says, as the body of Christ, there's great work to be done. I think it's a privilege that God would send Jesus to this earth to be a savior and to rise from the dead. And then he'd ask us to be a part of what he's doing. I think it's a privilege, especially when he says he'll empower us. We don't have them today, but last Sunday we had bulletins like this. You know, he's alive. And right in the inside cover, it has our vision at LW out here at Living Way Fellowship. Out of deep gratitude for who God is and all that Jesus has done, our desire and commitment is to be significantly moving to reach the world. Who in the world wrote that? I guess I wrote it with about 10 other people a number of years ago. By worshiping and knowing God personally, loving and one another fervently, being people of healing and restoration and sharing his love with others in the power of the Holy Spirit. So how in the world can we even begin to tell people about Jesus? Well, it's a couple things let's keep in mind. Okay, let's go through our outline if we can. If you've got one, there's some blanks to fill in. Number one, we are called and given authority. We are called and given authority. Called by God? Is that something special? I think it's more just that Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice. So we listen to him. What is authority? Authority is a person or group invested with the right and power to go someplace and do something. Have you all seen on a door someplace, authorized personnel only? Have you ever tried to go through when you weren't authorized? I didn't, but maybe someone has. I just think you can't do that. You can't go someplace unless you're authorized to go in there. Somebody would probably stop you and say, get out of here. Where's your ID or something? Jesus said of us in Matthew 28:18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, okay? Because he has the power and the authority, he's saying, you and me, go. You've got the authority to go into dark places. We sing songs about what Jesus is doing, and we're instruments. We can go into places where others can't go because the Holy Spirit is in us. Go, therefore. Jesus has given us authority. I have a book here by Greg Fisher, who is a Foursquare missionary in Africa. He says, my home is Africa. I don't know if we got a picture of him, but anyway, I'm telling you, it's just an absolutely amazing little book how the things that he does and that they do, places they go, because they have the authority to go there. In the name of Jesus, they go into witchcraft places, go into houses that are owned and run by people that hate God. Amazing things that people are doing in the power of God's Spirit. I think it's in this book where he says, if you have a flashlight, it's designed for one purpose, and that's to shine light into dark places, right? Now, you can use that flashlight to beat someone over the head. You can use that flashlight to do something else with it. But it won't be as effectual as if it's used to shine into dark places. You, if you are a child of God, you're designed to shine in dark places. Now, you might be using your life for something totally different. You might be using it for yourself. You might be using it to hurt other people or to be selfish. But he said, unless you're being used to shine light, you're not being effectual. And you're not sensing fulfillment either. Luke 9:1-2, another verse about authority. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Wow. Doesn't that sound like a good deal? Wouldn't we all like to have that? Well, he's giving it to us. He's giving us the power and the authority to be light and to be his instruments in places where maybe nobody else goes, or nobody wants to go. So number one, we are called and given authority. Number two, we are given a specific activity to do. We are given a specific activity to do. If you and I are followers of Christ, we have been given a ministry. It isn't, it may not be in Africa, it might not be in South America, or at least not yet, maybe. But D.L. Moody was criticized for his method of evangelism. I don't know if you remember, D.L. Moody was a front runner of Billy Graham, I guess, a national evangelist. And someone criticized him for the way he did it. And so he asked, he just says, well, what's your method of evangelism? And the person said, well, I don't really have one. And we said, I like mine a lot better than yours. That's kind of the way I feel when a relative of mine came here to visit this church about 10 years ago. And he just was, of course, he'd come from a mega church. And he was really critical. Yeah, you got such a small group, man. Why don't you get with it, you know? And I said, well, what size is your church? He said, well, I don't have one. I said, well, I like mine a lot better than yours. So, we are given a specific activity to do. I don't care who you are. If you're a follower of Christ, this great commission is for you. It's not just for me. It's not just for Carol. You're included. You are included in the great commission. We are given a specific activity to do. Okay. So we're given a specific activity. What would that be? Well, he says in Matthew 28, 19 through 20, we looked at it. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. There's four steps there. I see we're first to go, get out of our comfort zone sometimes. Touch people, say something to them, make disciples. Well, how do we do that? Well, we give them, somehow share God's word with them, baptize them. Well, that's what we did on Good Friday. We baptized a couple of men, and then we teach them. Here's how God looks at things. Does that mean we always get out our Bible and we start reading? No. Sometimes you just say, here's how God looks at things. That's how He looks at our world. I mean, we work together on this. I'm so thankful that Justin and Stan, who did the baptizing, didn't refuse. They say, well, I don't want to baptize these guys because I didn't disciple them. I didn't bring them to Christ. No. Somebody else brought them to Christ and they baptized them. Or I don't want to ever say, if I don't teach someone, I'm not going to baptize. No, we just work together on it. Okay? We work together on it. That's why I think the Apostle Paul said in Titus 2:3, and he said in a number of places, the older women be teachers of good things. Why didn't the Apostle Paul didn't say, no, I'm the teacher, I'm going to teach. No, we can all teach others that know maybe a little bit less than we do. One of the values of, I think, attending a Bible study is not just to learn things, so we can grow, but it's to watch how someone else is teaching and say, my chance is going to come. My opportunity is going to come, and I'm going to be a teacher. I'm going to be sharing God's love with someone. I'm going to be telling others. So we always want to have an open heart to grow and to share Christ with people. Someone might say, are you kidding? I could never teach people anything. Well, that's why number three is we are not left without the Holy Spirit ability. Okay? We're given authority, we're given an activity. And now we're not left without the Holy Spirit ability or power. I'll be honest with you, I'd never be pastoring this church if I hadn't experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That changes you. Totally changes a person. Suddenly you can't keep quiet about the good things God does and what He's doing. The ability to carry out and obey God, that's what we need. I just encourage every one of us to hunger and thirst after the filling of the Holy Spirit. There was a fellow that drove to church a number of miles, and it was on a freeway or a highway or something, and every now and then there'd be hitchhikers along the way. And so he'd always pick up a hitchhiker if there was someone there. And they would always ask him, where are you going? How far are you going? He'd say, well, I'm going here this far, and that's where the church is, and this is Sunday morning. I'm going to go to church. You want to come with me? And this guy said, well, I guess I haven't got too much going, so yeah, I'll come with you. They got to church, and the guy sat with him, and after church, a family invited them over for lunch. So they went to eat with his family. And of course, this hitchhiker looked pretty grubby, and someone in the family said, you need a shower or something? Yeah, I could sure use one. So they let him use a shower. They talked with him. Someone even gave him some clean clothes. A man had four, I guess, gave him a decent coat because he didn't have much. And at the end, they finally said, well, where are you going from here? And he said, such and such a town. And so they bought him a bus ticket. And so he got on the bus and he rode to wherever he was going. A week later, this fellow that picked up the hitchhiker got a letter. And the letter said, and it was a newspaper article that said, man turns himself in for murder. And the guy wrote and he said, I really want to thank you for picking me up. I was a hitchhiker, remember, last Sunday? And he said, the truth is, I was running because I had murdered a guy at a holdup at a gas station. And he said, but the kindness and hospitality of the Christians that you helped me to be around brought conviction to my heart. He said, I knew I needed to get right with God. Little did those Christians know that they had a murderer in their midst. They had no idea. Of course, the man doesn't say anything about the preacher and the service. He just says it was the love of God's people that brought conviction to my heart that I had to get right with God. See, sometimes you think that everything's done, maybe what I say or the worst. You have a place in the body of Christ to bring people to God, to bring people to Jesus. Matthew 28:20, Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Let me say that when Jesus said go, it didn't just mean go to Africa or go to South America. He said, maybe go across the street. Maybe meet someone you haven't met on your block. Did he say to stand up and preach a sermon? No. Just teach them something. Teach them things that I've commanded you. Well, I admire people that go to other countries. My niece, Shannon, and her husband Ryan, they're in the Congo right now. What are they doing there? I'm telling you, they've had to run for their lives a couple of times, and my brother and his wife are really kind of wondering, we shouldn't have let them go. Well, I think they're going to be there probably the rest of their lives. How about the Haiti team that went to Haiti? Some of you are here, there was five or six of you. You went, I bet you when you're in Haiti, you feel like you're at the end of the earth, didn't you? But it was you did it. I really think that part of the joy that you kids felt, well, I shouldn't call you kids, people felt when you came back was not because, we're finally home, as much as they knew they had obeyed God. And when you go to a place like that, you know this is not for fun. It's because God called us to do it. Well, it's not just going places. Sometimes, some of you supported them and raised money for them to go. So when we talk about the Great Commission, sometimes it takes money to send people places. It takes money to go. If you gave it to the offering this morning, part of that's going towards people, going to other places to spread the gospel. Another thing we can do is, I think it's the 29th of this month, John is going to present compassion to us. You can support a child in another country where they hear the gospel day after day and they finally yield to it. So that's another thing we can do. Another idea is that Carol brings in foreign exchange students into America from other countries. I always say, you can be a missionary and you don't even have to leave your house because they come into your house and you share God's love with them and you just talk to them about who we are as Americans and how much we love the Lord in this place. I think it was it 10 years ago that Tanya was here from Czech Republic? She was here with the youth meetings every night, every Wednesday. She gave her life to Christ, and we baptized her. Now she's back in the Czech Republic. Well, we don't know exactly what she's doing there, but we're just believing that the seed that was planted in her life is affecting people around her. We can also pray that the gospel would go forward I always say, you can be flat in bed and you can pray. So everybody has something to do. Doesn't matter who we are. So much needs to be done. So many options. But one option we don't have is to do nothing. If you're a follower of Christ, that is not an option. We need to get involved. I end with this scripture here, Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Notice it starts in Jerusalem, goes out to Judea, out to Samaria, and then the ends of the earth. That's where it starts. But it starts with the power of God in our lives. We're called to share God's love with people around us. If it starts with an experience with the Holy Spirit, when we're filled with power. See, until we really experience God's power in our lives, it's too big. Can't even begin. Can't even walk across the street and tell someone, you know what, God loves you. Or have you ever come to church? Have you ever been to church? You know, we can't even do that because it just seemed like our tongues are tied until it seemed like the Holy Spirit frees us. This is interesting. It's a true story. There's a company in Chicago that sends out magazine reminders to renew your subscription. And some kind of a machine had a spring stuck, and so it mailed out 9,754 notices to a rancher in Powder Bluff, Colorado to renew his subscription of the National Geographic. Can you imagine 9,000 letters to renew your subscription? He sent in his check, and in with the check, he said, send me the magazine. I give up. Sometimes we need some neighbors that finally give up and say, okay, you've talked to me enough about it. I'll come. Number one, we are called and given authority. Authority over the darkness of hell to be involved in people's lives. Number two, we are given a specific activity to do. You know, sometimes we can get so busy with all kinds of other stuff that someday when we stand before God, all that other stuff is going to burn up. We know that from 1 Corinthians, that there's some things that are going to remain, but a lot of activities that we spend our time and money on, they ain't going to amount to a hill of beans when we stand before God. But only the precious metals, the gold, the silver, precious stones, that's what's going to remain. And what we're talking about this morning, that's what's going to remain. Time spent in prayer. Time, money spent to spread the gospel. And just a love for our neighbors and for people we know. Just want to ask the question, are we ready to submit to Jesus and his lordship this morning? Step out in more obedience? That's my challenge to you and I this morning. You say, do you realize how busy we are? No, I don't. But I know that nothing is more important than what God's asking you to do. And this is something he's asking us to be involved in. We are not left without the Holy Spirit ability and his power. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, this morning we've heard your instructions to the disciples before you ascended. We heard your instructions, which is for us. Lord, we confess that we blow it off and we're too busy. And it's just too hard. People aren't interested. We believe that lie. And so this morning, I just thank you for your word that changes us. It helps us get on track to what's really important. And that's obeying you. So I thank you for your word that has given us direction this morning. And I just confess that we can get into a rut, and that doesn't include other people. I thank you that you've called us, and you've given us the power of your Holy Spirit to touch people around us. We just confess sometimes We know we should be praying, but we don't have time. We know we should be giving. We know we should be befriending people. But it's overwhelming. So this morning, we just look to you. And we confess and we say, by your grace, we're going to take a step of obedience. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, just giving each other privacy. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, man, I haven't been to first base. I don't know if I'm saved. I don't even know if I'm a follower of Christ. This would be a good morning for that. This would be a good morning for that. Jesus loves you. We've been singing about it. He's called you to follow him. You just raise your hand or look up at me and I'll just recognize you and we'll say, and by faith, we're going to pray together afterwards. Is there anybody here? I see that hand. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? Lord, I just thank you that you love people. You love us. So I just pray for this person. May they know in their hearts that you're calling them to salvation. You're calling them to follow you. I pray that they just follow you and never look back. And I'd just like to address the rest of us. Maybe you've said, you know what, I've been trying to walk with Jesus for years and years, but I didn't realize it. He wants me to help with the Great Commission to see people come to Christ. I felt convicted this morning. I'm going to take a step. I'm going to yield myself to Jesus. I'm going to be reckless in my love for him. And I just want to believe, church, that God's pointing out some things to you that you can do. You haven't been doing them. You're going to start. Just open your hands to him. You say, whatever I have is yours, Lord. Whatever I have is yours. Lord, I thank you that you've given us the privilege of getting involved with what you're doing. And help us to be more courageous, more reckless in our involvement with helping others find you, helping this world to come to you. Give you thanks right now.